1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And I guess the thought that I've had on my mind for this morning was what the world needs most. What the world needs most. And you know, you can think of a lot of things that man thinks that he needs. Everybody's got a view or an opinion of what the world needs. But what the world needs most, knowing what we know as God's people, knowing that there is not just this earth, not just the physical, but there is a spiritual and there is an eternal. Then you have to begin to think on a greater scale than what most people think about when they think what the world really needs. When you think about what the world really needs, a lot of people will say the world needs more food. The world needs more inclusion. The world needs more sharing. The world needs more love. All those things are good things. They're very good things. Well, most of them anyway. Definitely the love. This world could use more love. Amen. But the greatest need of this world is Christ. Absolutely the message of Jesus Christ. I can't think of a greater need than that for this world. Because if a man dies and lost his soul, what would the profit be? What would it be if a man died with a heart full of the love of the world? If the world loved them, there'd been a lot of men die and the world loved them, but they didn't get to heaven. Not on that. There's been a lot of men die with a full stomach, just as many as they have on empty stomachs, and that didn't do a thing for them. All those things are just temporary. But to think about the eternal, to think about the weight of the eternal and the message that we have in our hands to be able to give that message to the world, to be able to tell them, many that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, never heard it, to be able to say that name. Are you listening to me? I mean, you think about what Paul is saying right here when he's saying this. He's talking about a church that's divided. Christendom that is divided. There were those that many of them said, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Those are the guys that got it right. Amen. Amen. And what he was saying is, we have a divided message in this world today. And that's what's hurting people, and that's what's hurting the world. And what they need to hear is a true message of Christ. They don't need to hear a divided message. Amen. We have those that say you need baptism to be saved. Those that say you have to keep yourself because you're being saved. And you'll eventually get to heaven. But then we know what the Scripture says. Amen? We know what the Bible says. I would to God that men would get back to putting their soul in this book. Amen? And putting their soul in prayer, in time with God, we would not have a divided message. We would have men standing giving the same message of Christ. Christ is not divided. Amen? He doesn't have four churches. He doesn't have different denominations. Amen? That's right. And so I thank God that Paul dealt with this the way that he did, because in his day, and it's the same picture that we see today, every one of them. One thing that I don't understand, I'd like to understand it a little more, is how come, if we are truly following Christ, if we are listening to the voice of the Lord, if we are in the pages of this King James Bible, I could see the division if they have a different Bible, but we have a lot of churches that are, let's just say, Baptist churches. Yet the message in each and every one of them is somewhat different. Somewhat different. And but if you and I, listen, if we were connected, if we are connected to the same book and the same Holy Spirit, the same God, and claim the same salvation, there would be no division. Amen. Preachers wouldn't be cutting one another down. Amen. They wouldn't be crossing over one another. Amen. No, we would have exactly what thus saith the Lord. And that is what the world needs. They need to see a church unified. Amen. A church unified. The message unified. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, I came not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And what we are getting today is a lot of wisdom of words, a lot of play on words, a lot of word salad. Amen. But Paul said, I didn't come to you in the wisdom of words. And I thank God for wisdom. I mean, the Lord tells us to seek after wisdom. He's talking about godly wisdom, a biblical with a holy wisdom. Amen. Not necessarily a worldly wisdom, but I thank God for any ounce of wisdom that God would give unto us. But the wisdom of the world is making none effect the message. We cannot find what we need in the message in the wisdom of the world. We must seek what we're going to need to give to the people of this world, to the congregations, week after week, in God's holy word. That's the only place we're going to find it. The wisdom that you and I need, all that we need to dig, every nugget we need to find, we'll find it right here. Amen? I mean, we don't need to have the cross of Christ being made of none effect. The cross of Christ has affected humanity. Changed the course of history. That man, Jesus, that died 2,000 years ago, God's Son, amen, changed the course of time. Went from B.C. to A.D. Now, because of the liberals, it doesn't mean the same thing as it used to mean. But it still does. Well, they can change it, but it's still, amen, it's still after his death, amen. That's right. The world history revolves around him and his death, his coming, his payment for the sins of man. He was and is the Savior of the world. Whether man wants to realize it or not, God sent His Son into this world. He came. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The apostles testified with great power, gave they a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God we have such a powerful witness, the testimony of the apostles, to give that message to the world. People don't want to believe that testimony today. Like they didn't want to believe Isaiah's, who shall believe our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That tells me something. What do you need today? You need what the world needs, that's Christ. Do you need salvation? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Truly born again? What about it? Lord revealed. You see, with the report comes the arm of the Lord. The arm that's stretched out. Amen. That's not short, that it cannot save. Amen. The arm that invites and says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. When you don't believe the report, you're putting God's arm back behind Him. Amen. You're shoving God's arm of invitation away. Amen. To whom have believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The world needs this message, this testimony of Christ that the world and religion is making of none effect. None effect. We are living in that time where it's not affecting people. It's not affecting people. And I wonder, why is it not affecting people? It's the same message. It is the same message. It is the same Jesus that we're talking. Are we talking about the same Lord? Are we talking about the same Jesus Christ, born of a virgin? Born of Mary? Amen? Are we talking about He that is Emmanuel? He whose name is Jesus, name from the angel to Mary. Amen. Are we talking about the one that lived a sinless life, raised the dead, was crucified, buried, and rose again 3 days later? Are we preaching that same Lord Jesus Christ? Or have we given people another one? God have mercy that we'll present people with another Christ, with another Lord, with another Jesus. See, the preaching of the cross, that's of what Christ did on the cross. It's to them that perish foolishness. They hear that message and they're like, why is that guy screaming? What's he saying? What does that matter? I didn't ask Jesus to die for me. I've heard a lot of things come out of a lot of people's mouths over the years. Are you listening to me? Who's he to say that I'm a sinner? Why do I need him? Why do I need to say, what makes him the Savior of the world or any different? Hey, all these, it's foolishness to them. But unto us which are saved, unto us, listen, all my, he goes on down and he talks about in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, for you see, you're calling, brethren, you're calling. You and I that are saved, listen, we have had a divine calling. We understood what the report was, amen? We saw the arm of the Lord as it was revealed to us. You and I received a divine calling, for you see your calling. Brother Danny, don't ever take it for granted that the God of heaven called you. Amen? Think about that. Think about the power of that. That the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, called your name. You that are saved have a divine calling. The Trinity of God, listen, intervened in your life and wooed on your heart and drew you to himself. That's enough for us to get excited about this morning. Amen. Unto us which are saved, we're called. It is the power of God. The power of God to do what? To transform our lives. Amen. To transform us into something different. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's foolishness to them. But not to us. Not to us. You see, when God sends it out, here's the difference in the way the world looked at it and the way you and I that are saved received it. He said, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God is saying, this calling that he called you and I, a divine calling. We quote this scripture sometimes and we quote it as to the preacher's calling. But this is the salvation call. This is the salvation call. And listen, it'll work. It'll work with the preacher's call. A divine call is a divine call. Amen. I remember my call to salvation, and I sure remember my call to preach. What a divine call. But he says, in that call, he said, not many wise men after the flesh. After the flesh. Now, he's not talking about spiritually wise. Or he's not, you know, talking about on the spiritual side, the holy side. After the flesh, not many wise men. Not many mighty. That's powerful men, capable men. Not many noble. That's well-born men. You know, there's some men, as far as the flesh is concerned, are more noble. They were born into certain families. That's what he's talking about. No, not many noble, well-born men. Not many mighty. He said, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Now this is according to the flesh, the absurd things. Do you know that men look at God's preachers today, I mean God's true preachers, as absurd men? Absurd men. I've had people actually mock. I had a man years ago. He said, "You're not one of those hacking preachers, are you?" And that's when I was young. I could hack with the best of them. Amen. I'm talking 25 years old, Brother Danny. I could suck in a big gulf of air and I could get out about 50 words and 10 or 15 hacks all in one breath. I said, yeah, I'm one of those hacking preachers. But see, it's absurd to those that don't understand. Absurd to the world. Absurd that God would stir a man. Amen? Like Isaiah, that he would lift up his voice like a trumpet. Why is he yelling? Why is he lifting up his voice like that? God, for whatever reason, God wants a man to lift it up that the world can hear. Amen? Not all men do. Not every man does. You don't have to lift up your voice. Amen? I've seen men like Jeremiah weep as they preached. But God's men are not absurd. Their feet are precious in the eyes of God. But it's foolishness to the world. The world. This world that so many want to satisfy. This world that so many are looking for answers in. And the lost, that's the only place they know to find their answers. You and I are the lights of the world. We are like the lighthouse on the stormy shore, shining our light, waving at them. Are you listening as they're tossed by the winds and the world saying, here's land, here's a safe place, here is the place where you can come to dock. Here is the lighthouse. You and I are lights in the world, salt in the earth. The salt of the earth. Listen, you and I are what this world needs. We have the message that they need. It's not of us. It is of Christ. We are vessels. That's all we are. God uses the base things in verse 28 of the world. Those the least esteemed instruments, the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Listen, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. You and I are just least esteemed instruments. The things that are despised, that's the saints of God, despised by the world. He said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. We heard about that this morning. Oh my, what does the world need? They need to hear the preaching of the cross that they would not perish. They need to hear the preaching of the cross. In verse 19, he said, "For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" See, the disputer of this world, those that are antichrist, against his message. What message of hope have they? What can they give? What other religions, what other strange prophets, what other beliefs can give what Christ gives? There is none. There is none. There is none other. There's none other name given among men whereby man must be saved. There is no God besides him. Praise the Lord. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." Christ is of God, and you and I are of Christ. Amen. "Of him are ye in Christ. And God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He hath fulfilled in us all of it." You know what Paul is preaching in the book of Romans and Corinthians, especially Romans. You find Paul preaching about the divine call and the divine righteousness of God that produces the practical righteousness in your life and my life. A divine righteousness that produces the practical righteousness. You and I have been made righteous if we never do a thing. That thief on the cross died righteous. He hadn't done one thing. Wasn't even baptized. You say, "Well, that was Old Testament." No, no. He died after the testator died. And the testament comes in effect when the testator dies. Christ was already dead. That's why they didn't break his legs. He's already dead. They broke them thieves' legs. Why? They were still alive. Still breathing. He entered into the new covenant. Amen. New Testament. Wasn't baptized. Wasn't sprinkled. Didn't do one work. All he did was say, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now listen, don't take and hang all your Christianity on the thief, amen? Some people will take that and, use it as a card to sin their whole life, amen? Oh no, that's not what real Christianity is. God's righteousness will produce righteousness in your life. That's what the cross does. It washes your sin. Makes you a saint. Oh my. Thank God for that message. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Amen. "And to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul said in the last days, he told Timothy, he said, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." This message comes through preaching. The world needs preaching. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort. this message of Christ, you know what it'll do sometimes? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, where we were in verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And that word confound means to disgrace, to shame. We worry sometimes about people feeling shame or disgrace. You should be ashamed of your sin. Should be ashamed of it. And it takes God's men, listen, giving God's word. Or people, how are people going to know? Amen? All the things that we reveal. You know how I knew when I was a young man? You know how I knew that I needed to be ashamed of my long hair? Because a man of God got up and told me, said, son, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Amen? Kids, you know how I knew I wasn't supposed to run around half naked or in shorts or in, running around in bathing suits, as a man of God told me about it. Right. Shamed me. Right. Preached to all of us. Preached to everybody. There's times he pointed us out. Grandsons. He'd look right at us. Grandsons. I'm glad, thank God, I had a man of God that loved me enough to shame me and say, listen, Christ will help you. Christ will wash it away. Christ will make you new. Christ will change your life. Christ is the answer. He is who you need. More than you need. More than you need a haircut, amen. Or anything else, you need Christ. Earrings, that's how I knew. It's a shame. Now they're putting them everywhere. You got them everywhere. Nose. Got them in their head. Lord have mercy. What's wrong with kids? Tattooing themselves. Listen, now, if you've got tattoos from the past, bless your heart, just, you know, you've asked God to forgive you, just cover them up best you can, and it's all you can do. Amen? But I tell God's people everywhere, listen, God said, he mentioned it in the Old Testament. Yeah, that's right where he mentioned it, in the Old Testament. It's a moral law. God didn't want us marking on ourselves. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying all that, but I did. Are you hearing me? Listen, Paul looked at the Corinthians and he even dealt with them about their personal sin. Over in chapter number 6, Paul came to them and he was preaching to them. Where is that? Is that 2 Corinthians? Maybe it's 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Yeah, he said, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Oh, Lord. Know ye not your body, that's 1 Corinthians 6, bodies are members of the Christ. Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid! What, know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. He preached to them after they were saved how to live saved. How to live like a saved person. You're not the same person anymore. That's the power of God's message, and that's what this world needs. This world is lost. It has slipped off into 5,000 directions of crazy. And they're all bobsliding to hell. Amen? Lord, have mercy. You want to know what's right today? Everything that used to be wrong. You want to know what's wrong today? Everything that used to be right. This right here, what I'm preaching, this is wrong. This is wrong in the eyes of the world. That's wrong. But if I told, listen, you get out here and you tell you boys and girls that they can change their gender, that's right. That's okay to be a sodomite, that's right. You're not going to find this preacher preaching any such thing. Amen, agreeing with any such thing. You just go ahead and wave bye to me, I'll leave. Amen, I'm going to stick with God's book. I'll stay with a message. I believe there's some in here to come with me too. As a matter of fact, I think most everybody in here would. I hope everybody would. I appreciate the church. I thank God for the church. I appreciate a place where a group of people will let a man just open the Bible and just preach the book. Amen. Just preach the Bible and pray for him. Amen. And love him anyway. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, verse 30, he said, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The glory that you and I, listen, give, goes to the Lord. It's his message. It's his word. This is his church. These are his people. If a convert gets saved, that's his sinner. Amen. His child now. Amen. It's all his. All belongs to him. In him we live, we move, we have our being. I can't breathe without him. I can't do one thing without him. We stand powerless without him. God help us. We need the power of God. And this world needs the power of God. In God's church. They need to see the church with the power of God on it. Not an entertainment center. Not an entertainment center. Lord have mercy. We've got too many entertainment places today. God help. Listen, everything, I'm going to give you something. Everything that we are as a church, as a body, everything that we do, teach, preach, right down to the songs we sing, it should be based on that right there. And when you've got so many places, they've got not one verse to stand on as to why their music sounds worldly, their preachers look worldly, their message is worldly, and it does not sound like the Jesus of the Bible. Close. It's close in a lot of ways. Paul the Apostle warned us. He said, Satan's ministers, he said, they can be as the ministers of righteousness, look just like preachers. And he can come just like an angel. Just like an angel. That many would bow down and say, sure. Surely he's the angel of the Lord. He was one at one time. But he's fallen. He's a liar. He speaketh of lies. He's a murderer. That's all he's out for, is to take souls to hell. He doesn't care how he does it. He's going to take as many with him as he can. And if he can stomp out this message, he will. If he can give churches different Bibles, different messages, bring division, take away power, put in worldliness, hinder at every turn, whatever he has to do, his goal is to keep sinners from Christ. You know, this is as much about what we need as what it is about the world needs. We need the Lord. We need the power of the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We need the power of the Lord upon us. I want you to stand.